This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs this year play at Buffalo, at Dallas. Keep that game in mind for a Thanksgiving Day game. Wouldn't that be fun? Chiefs and Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Get the night and give them Christmas.
I'd love that.
Well, Chiefs were on the very first night game on Thanksgiving when they played the Broncos. Kind of a tribute to Lamar Hunt that year. Because normally, you know, every year it's the Cowboys and the Lions on Thanksgiving. So they rotate that night game around, which is good for the NFL at Denver, at Jacksonville, Denver at home, Chargers at home, Raiders at home, of course. Houston at home, Indy, Eagles at home. That'll be fun. Washington at home, Baltimore at home, Detroit at Vegas, at the Chargers, at the Giants, at the Titans. I got a text saying they went to the Raiders game last year. A friend of mine did, and they loved it. The old Death Star out in Vegas.
Allegiant Stadium.
It's not quite the home field advantage I think they were hoping for originally in Vegas. Clearly, it's a transient city.
Yeah, it's a tourist town.
But the Golden Knights have worked out. I mean, the fans of that have worked out. You would think, okay, everybody wants to come see their hockey team play when they're in Vegas. But it's actually worked out with homegrown fans. And I think the Raiders were hoping for that buzz as well, but it hadn't happened.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it has to do with you're not winning. If you've got a winning product, people are going to go want to go see that. I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights, to have the immediate success that they had in the NHL, said, hey, that team's winning. We want to go watch winning, so we're going to go watch. The Raiders haven't exhibited that in Las Vegas yet. If they start to win and they start to get competitive, they become a perennial playoff team. The people of Las Vegas, just like anywhere else, are going to show up to watch that team play. That's
what the A's are
open
for whenever they eventually get to Vegas. I'm surprised the NBA's not there, to be honest with you. I thought that was going to be the first pros franchise in the city.
They will eventually once they get to the next set of expansion teams, which they have been discussing for several years. Or
with the summer league, though, I'm just surprised it was just a natural fix.
When the Kings decide that they want to leave again, this time leave Sacramento, then they may end up in Vegas. Makes sense, because that's where the A's are playing right now, is Sacramento, and then they're going to go to Vegas next year, so why not just follow suit?
Well, Sharp Football put out his toughest list for the toughest schedules next year, which I don't really care about. It's 49ers, Patriots, Saints, Falcons, and Bills for what teams are projected for win totals and teams that are on the schedule. They put this out. I don't really care, because I think the AFC West, toughest schedule in the AFC. You have three playoff teams in there. You got all these coaches that have won, even the Raiders. They didn't make the one team that from the AFC West that didn't make the playoffs has a Super Bowl winning head coach that's 72 years old and on a desire to keep winning.
Yeah, I'm kind of baffled by this list. The Chiefs' 27th toughest schedule,
which is insane.
Yeah, they
considering some of those teams I mentioned that they, like the Eagles, Bills, the Ravens. Lions.
I guess I shouldn't say 27th toughest schedule. By this list, they have the 6th hardest schedule in the league. 27th if you're ranking 1 through 32, easiest to hardest. So it's the 6th most difficult schedule in football. But I look at the Vikings at 28. You've got the Eagles at 29. Lions at 30. The Browns at 31. And the Giants at number 32. The Chiefs are playing 10 games against playoff teams from a year ago, which, again, take it with a grain of salt, because you looked at their schedule last year, and I don't know anybody who looked at it.
There's always the team that makes the playoffs that didn't make the playoffs the year before.
Yeah, who looked at the Washington Commanders and thought, oh, that's going to be a tough game. Well, turns out it was. They won 12 games a season ago. So I am a little bit surprised that they're not closer to maybe the second or third toughest schedule in the league. But I think that there are some things that certainly help them. Of the 10 teams, the 10 games I just mentioned against playoff teams, they have home games against seven of them. They've got the Broncos at home, Chargers at home, obviously being inside the division. They host the Baltimore Ravens. They host the Detroit Lions. They host the Houston Texans, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Commanders. All of them are at home. The only road games they have, Broncos, Chargers on the road, obviously. You've got the Bills on the road, but then you go to Dallas, to Jacksonville, to New York for the Giants, and to Tennessee to play the Titans. Your road schedule is very, very friendly.
And the only thing I really look at is I look at the quarterback situation. Like, that's the first thing that sticks out to me. Which quarterbacks are very good that you're playing on the road?
Yeah.
Like, who are those quarterbacks? Now, obviously, you're playing Josh Allen in Buffalo. I get it. They usually beat the Chiefs in the regular season. Postseason, much different story. It's kind of a who cares game for me. I don't really care about it. Just like when they lost to Buffalo this year, I was like, who cares? Wait till we get to the postseason, see if they beat them. But you look at a lot of these games, you think, all right, which quarterback are they playing? There's some really, really good quarterbacks that they play in the NFL this year.
No question.
You got Jackson on there, Lamar Jackson. You got Josh Allen. You've got Jaden Daniels on there. You got Jalen Hurts again on there. They play a lot of good quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at a top 10 list of the best quarterbacks in football, there's only maybe two that you won't see next year. You won't see Baker Mayfield, and you won't see Joe Burrow. But you,
Joe Scheisty.
Yep, Joe Scheisty. You have matchups against Lamar. You've got a matchup against Jared Goff and C.J. Stroud and Bo Nix twice.
And Justin the Giants, Herbert whoever twice. That's going to be.
Whoever maybe that Wilson. Ends up being. You've got to play Jaden Daniels. You've got to play against Josh Allen. You've got to play against Dak Prescott coming back off the injury. What does that look like? You've got to play against Trevor Lawrence with nobody to throw the football to outside of maybe a two-way player in Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter, man.
And you got to play the number one overall pick at his home stadium in Cam Ward with the Tennessee Titans. So it's an interesting schedule, but I look at it and, man, I would love a Thanksgiving Day game in Dallas against the Cowboys, right? That's a road game for you. The Cowboys always host on Thanksgiving. I think that's picture perfect scheduling for the NFL. Put the problem.
The Chiefs are their bell cow. And you put two of America's teams together.
Maybe the two most popular teams in football in 2025. That game's going to explode for people, right? You can play the whole, you know, Dallas Texans versus, you know, you can play that whole scheme with the Thanksgiving Day game. I think it works. I know that there's some people that think that Chiefs Eagles is going to be the NFL's opening day game. I don't see it because the Chiefs are the home team.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
The Eagles are going to host their for their week one game. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. That's traditionally been the way they've done it a lot of the time.
They'll host
is that the Super Bowl team, whoever wins the Super Bowl is going to be the host of that game. I think the Eagles will host the first game of the year on Thursday night, and it won't be against the Kansas City Chiefs.
They should do the Commanders game, but whatever.
They should, but I'm fascinated by how difficult this schedule can be for the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, if there's one thing I'm hoping for this Chiefs schedule, it's that it's not overly backloaded. Like, the last thing I want to see is in the final 5 weeks of the year, the Chiefs have to play a combination of like Philly, Washington, Detroit, and Buffalo.
And the total rest thing is big. Like, how much rest do you have between
games? Yes, and that's the Thursday second night, thing.
Which they do. Sharp Football always puts it out.
Yep.
Because a couple years ago, the Chiefs had less rest than anybody. This past year, it's the 49ers.
Yes. And that the second thing I would say is you have to hope for a halfway point or later bye week. I don't want to see this Chiefs team have a bye in week 6 or week 7. You hope that you're getting a week 11 or a week 13 bye if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, because you're going to be in the midst of a playoff chance.
Before a tough opponent.
Yes.
And not a bye before the Jaguars.
Or in between, right? You've got Philly at home, bye week, and then you're playing Buffalo on the road. That's an ideal situation. The last thing you need is Tennessee on the road, bye week, and then you're hosting the Indianapolis Colts.
Or a couple years ago when Buffalo actually played in London and turned around and went ahead and took their bye week then instead of later on in the season, instead of right after London.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll
because of Kansas City.
It'll be interesting. I I'm curious if the Chiefs end up with, I don't think they'll end up with another international game this year. Obviously, they're not a host team for it. I don't think that they would play another international game.
I think it could end up Brazil.
Man.
Against the Chargers, which that'd be fine. It's not in LA. They dominate in there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs and Chargers in Brazil. Before that, you think that'll happen there, Drew?
Well, I think that because we talked about this when the opponents were first released, and I think that they're going to have a division game in the first week of the season. I just don't know who. I Chargers is the one that I lean towards, but because the Chiefs haven't had a division opener in a while. I don't know if it's been 10 years exactly or not, but I think we looked it up, and it's been a while since they opened up with a divisional opponent. So I wouldn't be surprised if they open, whether it be in Brazil or not. I think a divisional opponent is definitely in the cards.
Well, they'll have their share of Sunday Night Football. They'll have their share of Monday Night Football.
Always.
Playing noon games has kind of been out of the question. Noon home games out of the question.
That Tennessee game screams noon game.
The funny thing is like, let's look at like seven of the last 10 teams that were top three spenders in free agency didn't make the postseason the year before.
Mm.
Like the biggest free agent spender last year was Carolina, actually. And I think how bad they were. They got better, but they were still bad.
Carolina might be an interesting team to follow this year. Just in regards to...
Because of the T-Mac?
No, I mean, sure. But just in regards to the way Bryce Young looked at the end of the year, the NFC East is wide open... Or the NFC South is wide open. I mean, the Saints, I don't think anybody thinks is going to take anything. You know, they're not going to be serious.
You're not a Tyler Shutt guy?
No. The Falcons have Penix. We'll see how he does. Roster-wise, they're right there with... They might be the best roster in the division. I mean, with Tampa.
Top to bottom. Yeah, Tampa's there. Tampa's great. Tampa's aging.
They've won the division, what, 4 straight years?
Something like that, yeah.
I think Carolina might be able to make some noise in regards to the division race, maybe. I don't know if they make the playoffs, but...
I think it's the second longest streak Tampa has winning the division.
Because what did the division win last year? Was it 10 games, Bink, or was it 9?
Yeah, Buccaneers went 10-7, I believe.
And the year before was 9-8, right, I think?
Yes. Okay. I mean, it's been a bad division.
Yeah, it's one of those where if you win 9 years. Games,
they've won 4 straight, but they were 13-4, 8-9, 9-8, then 10-7.
They were 8-9 and won the division?
They won the division 8-9. Lost the wild card against the Cowboys.
And the Saints won the division most recently beyond that, which was 2020. I believe that might have been Drew Brees' last year.
They won 4 straight.
Yeah. It's a bad division. All in all, it's a bad division. And it was a really good division there for a little while. Right when you had Carolina at the height of Cam Newton and his powers, along with a really good Falcons team with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, the Saints were always consistently good with Drew Brees, and that division has fallen completely off the cliff ever since. I don't know. This division,
I still have W and L's next to all the teams when the schedule comes out. I still do that.
Just going to chalk it up.
I still do W and L's.
Okay. I like it. I mean, who doesn't, right?
It's just the Chiefs, right? Or do you go through every single team?
No, just Chiefs.
Okay. Well, yeah, like your first reaction record?
It would take forever.
I think it'll be 12-5. Yeah, yeah, I get it. I think that's everybody's first move.
Yeah, because then you got to think, which are the teams that can actually beat them?
Yeah, right, of course.
Yeah, and it's hard to do it now. I mean, you know who they're playing, but you don't know the order in which they're playing, right?
Yeah.
Like or how much rest in between, which I think is big.
Exactly. You look at it straight up, and you're like, okay, yeah, the Chiefs are capable of winning all 17 of these games. I'll say they go 14-3. And then the schedule comes out, and you're like, wait, they play the Ravens on a Thursday night, and then they play... They play the Commanders on Sunday late afternoon, and then they follow that up with a Monday night game the next week against Detroit. And you're like, do you really see them winning 3 straight games against those 3 teams? Probably not. So your thought process changes a little bit once you see the order of events, when they play, what time they play, how little rest, how much rest they end up getting, where the bye week sits, who's going to be healthy, who's not. It changes everything.